Good morning. And welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I am Sandy Ingham. I am still Sandy Ingham. I am still your minister, even though I have struggled to remain upright over the last few weeks. So it is wonderful to be here. Prairie, as I hope most of you in this room know, aspires to be both an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation. We welcome you, no matter your ethnicity or your religious background, no matter where you are on this journey of life, this spiritual journey, whatever your color, your sexual orientation, your gender, your family structure, no matter your age or your abilities or inabilities, we welcome you. So, we provide a variety of services on Sunday mornings. So if this is one of your first times here, I urge you to try again. Come back. Sometimes I lead the service. Often we have someone from within our own community here lead the service. And often, too, we have outside speakers, such as someone from Yahara House this morning. The opening words will be read by Mary Mullen.
Love is not concerned with whom you pray, or where you slept the night you ran away from home. Love is concerned that the beating of your heart should kill no one.
James and Rachel of the Hughes family. Well, what do you guys do?
The words.
Responsive reading.
Okay. Wait,
go for it. Or it's not a responsive reading. Sorry.
Do the regular type.
You start.
Okay. Let us be at peace with our bodies and our minds. Let us return to ourselves and become holy ourselves.
Let us be aware of the source of being common to us all and to all living things.
Invoking the presence of the great compassion, let us fill our hearts with our own compassion towards ourselves and towards all living beings.
Let us pray that we ourselves cease to be the cause of suffering to each other.
With humility, with awareness of the existence of life and of the sufferings that are going on around us, let us practice the establishment, of peace in our hearts and our earth. Amen.
Well, now, Faith, I would like to invite you and our guest speaker up, Jackie, and you can introduce her. Come up here if you would, please.
All right. Okay. All right. Jackie has worked, this is Jackie Hunt, and she's worked as a chemical abuse specialist for over 16 years at Journey Mental Health. She's made it her life's mission to bring awareness and acceptance of mental illness to the Black community, especially in impoverished communities. She's dedicated herself to bridging the gap between those living with mental illness to much-needed mental health services. She's created her own unique approach to helping her community by providing programs and events which promote overall wellness, especially at critical times. Through partnerships with her church, Fountain of Life, and the Nehemiah Center for Urban Leadership Development, she's been able to assist individuals and families by being a resource, identifying resources in the community, and making them available to help families move from helpless to hopeful. Mahatma Gandhi said, and I quote, "Be the change you wish to see in the world today." Jacqueline's own personal testimony of recovery, her desire to serve, and this quote is the foundation upon which she serves. Her favorite scripture is Jeremiah 29:11, so she does not take lightly the journey which God has placed her on. She recently was recognized by Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated as a 2016 Humanitarian of the Year. She's the mother of 7 beautiful children and grandma to 7 amazing grandchildren as well. And she didn't want me to toot her horn, but I'd like to say that she is an amazing person. I met her because I am a member of Yahara House because of my PTSD and chronic depression. And she's come in and is really working to bring our services into the Black community, which is no mean task. And she is just an amazing person because she can operate in both worlds, is really wonderful, integrating. She's a fabulous, beautiful woman, and I hope you give her a warm welcome.
I can. Makes me feel like I'm somebody, like Faith said. Thank you so much, first of all, for allowing me into your place. We're all family. We're all created, you know, to be equal, right? In the images of who I believe to be our Lord and Savior and our God. So that's where I'm coming from. And Faith knows who I am and what I believe. And so she invited me here to talk a little bit about Yahara House. As you can see, I'm blessed to be able to work at a place called Yahara House. These are amazing people, and I see them. These are real life people that I like touch and feel and work with every single day. And their amazing journeys of transformation have increased my knowledge and awareness of mental illness. And a little bit more of a background for me, and I feel like you need to know this before I continue. How much time I got? 5 minutes?
20, oh, oh, 15 wow. or 20.
Okay, so. All right. So let me take the glasses off because I don't need to read that part. I can just share with you openly about who I am and how I came to be, right? So a lot of years ago, I was a person who was struggling with substance abuse issues, depression, homelessness, all of those things that the people whom I am able to work with now are experiencing. So I believe that I'm in a unique position to empathize, right? But also encourage and support as they move from hopeless to hopeful. Right? About 5 years ago, well, I worked at Journey Mental Health Center as a substance abuse counselor after graduating from MATC in 1999. I received a licensure or was a certification at the time through the state of Wisconsin to do substance abuse counseling along with my associate's degree. I did that for a lot of years, like 10 years. At some point, I realized that there was a connection, that mental health and substance abuse went hand in hand. Sometimes people say, well, what do? You treat the mental illness first and then address the substance abuse, or do you make a person be clean and sober before you begin to address their mental illness? And I was like, that does not work, because those things are happening. Like, you can't slice a person in half and say, okay, this is the mental illness piece and this is the substance abuse piece, right? Because they're one whole human being, right? So anyway, I started researching and began to bring both worlds to the table, right? But what I realized was that I really wasn't educated enough. I wasn't equipped. So as a single parent of 7, right, with children across the lifespan, I had kids in at elementary, middle, high school, and college, and grandbabies that were still in diapers in preschool, right? So I had them across the lifespan, but I set on this journey to improve my own, to make myself marketable, one, but also so that I could be qualified to do the type of work that I believe I was called to do. So I'm 50, I will be 55 in March. So I'm celebrating what I consider my double nickel birthday this year. But I went back to school 5 years ago, 6 now, and I started a program at Upper Iowa to receive my bachelor's degree first, right? Because I didn't have that. Then I graduated cum laude. Hats off to me, right? With all that stuff going on, I went on to receive a master's degree at Lakeland College just last year in counseling. And so you needed that background so that you could not for me tooting my own horn, but just so you could really understand who I am and why I'm so passionate about Yahara House and the work. Now, I worked at outpatient services as a therapist for all those years. And then some things happened. Managed care, Badger care, all of Obamacare, all of those things happened, right? And our agency had to make some tough choices, right? But those choices didn't reflect my vision for my life and my willingness and ability to serve. So I sought out opportunities and I landed at Yahara House. So Yahara House is what's called a clubhouse. People become members. And the only qualifications you need to have to become a member is that you have a mental illness and that you're over 18. Plain and simple, right? So then you go through this interviewing process. You can't be a threat to the house. You can't be someone who's coming in at a hypervigilant state, right? You have to be managing your mental illness to be a part of the membership, right? But with those things intact, once you become a member, you are a member for life. You are able to work with in a community where the whole running of the clubhouse is done by members along with staff, not by staff along with members. Did you hear that? Right? So members are the ones that prepare. So I work in the cafe department. There are three departments, three major departments for members, which is the cafe department, the MC, which is the communications department, and then the business, which handles all the running of the house for all the members. So members can have checking accounts, they can pay their bills, they can get their checkbooks, they can get assistance balancing their checkbooks, paying bills, all of those things that come with the running of a household, right? In the MC department, this video was made in our MC department by members. Every person on that video is actually a member of Yahara House. Then in the cafe department, which is where I work, alongside with members, we plan a menu, we shop for it, members shop for the menu, and then we prepare it. And mind you, I'm fairly new to Yahara House. I've been there, I only started in that position in November. But what amazes me is that, so I shared that I'm a single mom. So I'm one of those people who really has to be mindful about the meals that I plan for my household and things like that. Yahara House does every single thing from scratch. Very seldom is there a can opened for anything, right? Everything is fresh. And the members dice and cut and saute and season. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch somebody sitting at the table chopping potatoes, somebody sitting over here chopping carrots, somebody over here making the broth from vegetable stock to make the soup. It is so awesome to just watch members thrive. Members are also able to, once they've managed their ability to be in the house and show up on a regular basis, they can sign up to go out for temporary employment options, right? These temporary employment options are supported by their caseworker, and it might be anything from cleaning to delivering mail to labeling medications in the pharmacy. Like, people are all over this city working who are members of Yahara House because they were able to find life, just as you saw on the video. Once they've been in the temporary employment position for a time and they've shown that they're ready, now they're also still managing mental illness. So they're still taking their medications. They have symptoms, the things that come up and trigger. And they come to Yahara House and they sit down with their case manager. They're able to talk and work through some things, put a plan together to be safe, and then generally they get back on track. It's amazing. Nothing like the work that I was doing in outpatient services, seeing a person 1 hour a week, right? And expecting that that's really going to be something that they can, well, I don't want to bash therapy because therapy is good, right? But it didn't fulfill me the way that being with people every single day does at your house. Then the last thing I'll say is that after the TE position, we have members who are working out in regular jobs. And now that I'm at Yahara House, I'm more aware of our members when I see them in the community. I'm like, wow. I don't say it, but, you know, I just do my own little, you know, kind of thing. Just, you know, a little wink or something like that to let them know I see you, you know, and I'm so happy for you. Because mental illness is really a serious illness. I don't know why we have to have a separate mental health services, but the overall well-being of an individual is my goal. And that's what I operate from. And if it is something that's emotionally tearing a person down, it's gonna eventually have some physical implications as well, as I learned from my own depression and a recent illness or physical ailment that I had to struggle my way through. So anyway, that is Yahara House. I'm so grateful to be there. Did I leave out anything, Faith, that you would rather want me to? Oh, we also have social and recreation activities. Once a month, we have a support staff for our temporary employment workers, where once a month they get to come and talk about what's going well, and they prepare a meal together with staff to talk about what's going well on their employment. In their employments, we have self-help groups in the house where people are able. There's a dual recovery group there. There is a cultural competence group that meets there. So there are many things within the clubhouse that members are able to access. We also have a psychiatrist who is on grounds, and he serves the members that we have at Yahara House as well. I think that's pretty much it. These members who go out for jobs are supported by us as staff. So I don't know, does anybody have any questions that they want to ask? Okay, all right, look, I done opened up. So we have 140 members, active members, but once people become really stable, they may have secured their own employment, and they're doing well, they can become what's called associate members. Now, I'm not quite sure exactly how many associate members we have, but there are 140 members. And we have special events as well. Like one of the largest events that we host is called the Day of Giving Thanks. And that's where the house prepares this immaculate Thanksgiving Day dinner. Members are able to invite their families in and they eat in shifts, which is the way the work order day work it goes at Yahara House. And people are able to bring their families. And on that day, I think it was like 150 people. I never saw so many people in that little space before in my life. So anyway, every day we plan meals for about 50 people. Sometimes this is the only nutritious meal that our members are going to receive. And we do make the meals very nutritious. Sometimes I try to spoil them. We have regular people in the clubhouse who come in and bake. Like, so Tuesday house meetings, we know we're going to have Rebecca's cookies. And on the first Thursday of the month, we know we're going to have Peter's birthday cake for everybody in the house who has a birthday in that month. So this is an amazing community. I mean, I could go on and on and on about all the wonderful things that Yahara House does, but I want to make sure that I have time for the questions. So I also work for Nehemiah Community Development Corporation as a member of their Justified Anger team. And because I work right over here in the Dunn's Marsh neighborhood and Meadowood, which are two highly populated by people of color and low income, that's the other part that Faith should have shared that probably wasn't in my... It doesn't matter. First of all, African Americans are less likely to seek out formal services for mental health and anything else for that matter, right? That's just the reality. There's a mistrust of the Black community with service providers, especially healthcare, and even more so mental health providers. So my goal as a outreach person over here in the Allied Duns March community was to bridge that gap. So people will come in and, can I just talk to Jackie? Can I talk to Jackie? Yep, absolutely, have a seat. So we sit down and talk. And I say, well, maybe you should consider going to therapy and having, you know, a regular counselor. And they say, I ain't doing that. I ain't finna go have no counseling. I say, well, what is it that frightens you about counseling? And it was like, telling people my business. I said, well, you sitting here talking to me. I was like, this is exactly what counseling and therapy looks like. Really? Yes, baby, yes. Get you some help. I'm even willing to help walk you through the process. So that's part of what I've been able to do over here in Allied, in the Allied Duns Marsh community. And now through Justified Anger, I'm trying to bridge some of those same gaps and provide that resource for family members over in the Meadowood community.
We also have committees. We do the members do the hiring and the policy making at our house too.
Right.
We're on committees. In fact, committee members hire Jackie.
Yep.
And we make policy. And one of the things we're being forced to do is move. We have a beautiful old mansion on the lake on Gorham Street. And because Journey Mental Health is our auspice agency, sometimes unfortunately, because they're a giant mental health conglomerate, and they're shaped by forces way beyond us. They want to sell that building for a big profit, and they're forcing us to move. So anyway, part of the membership staff teams is a planning committee, and we're looking for a building, and also we're doing some planning about how we'd like to shape ourselves in the future. And we did a big survey, and one of the big results of the survey was feedback we got is that we need to really diverse, you know, change our membership. You know, we need to increase the diversity of our membership because it's predominantly white. And to do that, we need to change the composition of our staff too. So we know that, and we're trying to change that, but it's a slow process. You know, Jackie knows how frustrated I get. She is sort of my mentor in some way. She calms me down, keeps me from going off at people at meetings. And but you know, people are very open-hearted there. They, you know, it's a process. And I want to go into the jails and recruit people. I want to go out to JFF. But to keep people there and to get people there and to institutionalize it takes time.
Okay. And no, I'm not a token Black. I'm really good at what I do. So they sought me out. I just want to also say that I recently applied for my LPC. So that's my licensed professional counselor in training. I graduated in May, and I was kind of angry at some things that were going on that journey, and I thought I was going to be leaving. I was very, 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 very prayerful, and then this opportunity presented itself to me. So instead of just jumping out there and taking whatever I found, I was able to stay and work on something. Now I have some tangible goals. Another thing that is happening in my life is I created a program of my own. It's called Power. And the Power program is for people who are returning to the community from being incarcerated or from being in a hospital or institution for longer than 2 years. And the reason why it has to be longer than 2 years, because so many things change in that period of time, and people need to be able to reintegrate in their families and understand the dynamics that are going on. And I'll give you just one brief example. If you were a provider for like your family and your crime was drug selling, and then your significant person had to maintain for 2 years while you were gone, and they have a legal job now, they have an apartment, they're stable, and then you get out and come back and think, things are the same. Well, they're not. So I want to help individuals who are coming out be able to stay out. And if there's anything that you, I mean, if you want to know more about power, you know, because I really need some support with that. I wrote the program. I don't have a lot of funding to do it, but I am really passionate about what I do. And sometimes I just do what I do because it needs to be done without any compensation. And my family, you know, my family suffers sometimes, but I always try to make it up to them. So anyway, if you want to know a little bit more about power, ask me. And also my program called Foster, and that is Families Overcoming Struggles to Encourage Restoration. I have many irons on the fire because this is huge, you know, and my desire to help and serve is truly because of that mantra that I carry. You know, I'm going to be the change that I wish to see in this world, and that's that. Each member is assigned to a case manager, or lead clubhouse specialist is what our official titles are. But we also have groups like right now, one of our staff is providing a Microsoft Word class. So there's 12 weeks where people are able to learn Microsoft Word. The cultural competence is a group of members who have chosen to come and talk about culture. And they do things like watch movies, read articles, and then have discussions about them. So is that kind of what you're talking about? And then, again, I think I said this before. I'm not sure if I finished my thought. But once a month, we have an outside rec activity where each department is responsible. Members can sign up and do something fun together. This month coming up, Cafe is responsible for the rec event. So we'll have a number of members sign up. We provide transportation and we pay for people, and we're going bowling. So it'll be a day at, you know, fun bowling, right? And then other members who don't get to ride in our van can actually meet us there and still have fun. So, yep, the NAMI March, I think members were, I saw members that was on. Yeah. Clubhouse is international. And we have members who our Friends Board have sent to those international conferences. One of our members is on the assurance, quality assurance team. And he, well, what is it? What is it that Mark is on?
Accreditation
team. And he goes all over the state to help clubhouses meet the conditions so that they can be accredited as a clubhouse. So Clubhouse is international. It is in, I don't know how many countries, but if you just kind of Google it, you will definitely find clubhouses all over, and even in the state of Wisconsin. We have always received the highest and the longest accreditation when our clubhouse is under review. Just recently here, this new thing, I call it the Beast, CCS, has transformed how service is provided. Now, I think CCS is intended to be, I think it's Community Comprehensive Services. I think it's meant to be a good thing, but what I wish is that Dane County would have waited. Right? Just put on hold until all the other counties worked out all the kinks, you know, and then said, okay, now we'll come on board. But unfortunately, it didn't. That's that beast that I fled outpatient services trying to escape and walked right into it now as a service facilitator at Yahara House. But there, you know, we don't have a wait list. We want people to come in. We are able to, like, if people come and they meet those two requirements, then they are able to get an interview and become members, if, you know, as long as they're not a threat to the house or won't interrupt, you know, what's already happening in the facility. And yeah, Journey is the auspice agency for us, but we are also a kind of like we do our own policy. I'll say this last thing. Everything in Yahara House is done by consensus. If the members don't want it, it doesn't happen. So the members drive this house and what happens in it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jackie. That was really good. Go in peace. Read your newsletter. You will be so inspired if you read your newsletter that's coming out. And greet your neighbor, drink coffee, enjoy.